CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com. It is a Monday morning. It's just after 7 o'clock. Sure. What a way to start the week, huh? Monday. And it's kind of cold. Like the first proper day of not such great weather in Joburg anyway. Yeah. I'm not going to involve
everyone. Winter PJs last night.
Yeah. I was so used to summer and sleeping sort of half out of blankets and things, and I don't even have a blanket in my bed. I've got like a sheet on top, and I was actually chilly last night. I found myself like wrapped up in it this morning, so obviously in the middle of the night I was like, more blankets please.
Oh, I'd much prefer that feeling than kicking off blankets.
Oh really? You like a bit of winter?
Yeah,
I hate you. No, I don't want to say goodbye to summer. I love it too much. Think of how everything looks outside. It's all dead and brown and cold and ugh. Can't stand that.
That feeds all right. Me and soul.
So first things first, you know this Australian dwarf that was bullied? It's a big story. Everybody's very upset about it, even though none of them know this kid. Something to get upset about as if we don't have any real problems in the world. Anyway, so someone obviously went on and made a fake story about how this is actually like a 19-year-old adult. Because there was a story 2 years ago about this, like a midget who got onto a school bus and like had a fight with a bus driver, and then the bus driver like pushed the kid off the bus, and everyone was like, oh my God, that bus driver must be arrested. And then they found like this was a midget and he does this, he causes trouble. And he was like stealing other kids' lunchboxes or things. I don't know what the story was. So that's probably where it comes from. Anyway, so here is very angry. This is Mariska. She says, no, Gareth, that is fake news. The kid's story is true. You can just check Snopes. Now you're acting as stupid as the guy who sent you the message. Quaden is not a fake. You're so irresponsible. How is that irresponsible? What am I doing to like make it worse for the kid? And by the way, who cares? Like, it's not a news story. He's not the Prime Minister of Australia. What difference does it make? Calm yourself down, Mariska. If you want to help the kid, go and fly to Australia and you coddle him into happiness. Don't involve me.
The closest I can get to investigating, just sitting in front of the Googler, is a TV insert dating back to 2016, June of 2016, that featured Quaden back then, Quaden Bales. And
what a terrible name, by the way. Hard enough to go through life with dwarfism, and now you give the kid a name like Quaden.
Oh, hold on to yourself. His mother's name is Yaraka.
Oh my.
Yarraka. Anyway, the point is, back in 2016, there was a Today Show insert done around him because he was speaking about his love for his dog and how his dog helps him cope with a lot of ridicule that he faces in his life. So if you dated back then, he was 5 years old at the time, so plus 4 years, 9 years. That is just the most accurate or accuracy I can get for now. So
it's not a story. 20 years ago, you wouldn't even have known this kid existed unless you lived in his village in Australia. It is unacceptable that kids are bullied, full stop, right? We all agree. Yeah. There's no one in the world who's going around going, no, bullying's fantastic. No one. So what is the price of being outraged on behalf of a kid who's been bullied? Zero, because everyone on earth agrees with you. It is not brave to say, oh, this bullying must stop, or to start an internet campaign to stop bullying, which does nothing. If there's a price involved, let's say you said, for example, the opposite. No, I'm totally in favor of kids with dwarfism being bullied. Imagine you said that. Who in society are you going to find to agree with you? Hardly anyone is the answer. And the reason for
Katie Hopkins.
That horrible Katie Hopkins bitch. Yeah, that's the only one you get. So, in other words, so which one's the most expensive to your reputation, your time, potentially your money? Which one? The bravest thing is not to go, bullying is terrible. Of course bullying's terrible. Everyone agrees with you. No price. It's cheap. That you can get on the shelf for a cent and a half.
And I say, if you want to donate to him, sure, go ahead. And if you don't want to, then don't.
Well, Carl says, that Quaden is getting the short end of the stick this morning. And it is not fair.
Okay. Carl, that's excellent.
I see where we're going now.
All right, now let's move along. There's actually news. Let's find out about coronavirus. Leanne has got the real, honest facts, the truth. And Ali actually sent me an email about the same thing this morning. So let's go. Honest coronavirus updates. Bring it on with Dr. Mike.
Favorite ever.
Tell us, Leanne. Or do you want me to just play Dr. Mike?
Yeah, I want you to just play a bit of it. It's 10 minutes long.
Yeah, I'm not playing 10 minutes.
But it just gives you the background and the credibility from where his YouTube videos come from.
Here's Dr. Mike, who's got 5.11 million subscribers. He's no schlub.
The novel coronavirus has a new name, and there's a ton of new misinformation out there. We're going to stay alert and not anxious on this week's Wednesday Checkup.
Okay. Thank you, Doc. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm in his surgery.
The date today is February 18th, 2020. I need you to know that because
it's
all
not, it's the 24th, but you get the
relevant
idea.
Relevant up until this date. Things change really quickly, especially when it comes to new viruses like this. Let's kick it off by talking about the new name of the novel coronavirus, COVID-19. CO from Corona, VI from virus, D for disease, 19, because it actually started in December 2019. Actually, it was a World Health Organization that decided to give the novel coronavirus the COVID-19 title, and they worked really hard on this because they wanted to avoid a few really important setbacks. Number one, they didn't want to include the location because it comes with a lot of stereotyping. People were calling this the Chinese coronavirus, the Wuhan coronavirus. That's not what we're calling it. They wanted to avoid implicating any animal in this because, as we've seen with the H1N1 virus, people started referring to it as swine flu, other ones as the bird flu. This has nothing to do with animals. Yes, it started in an animal vector, but now it's within humans. There's no need to get animals involved. The International Committee of Taxonomy for Viruses started saying that maybe we should call it SARS-CoV-2.
Okay. He's telling us what to call it. Can you give us some stats?
So there is a really useful website if you want to track the spread of the virus or the containing thereof or even the number of people who've recovered. And what I like about this is that it's all reflected on the Johns Hopkins site, and that data is drawn from the WHO, CDC, ECDC, NHC, and DXY.
No, you made that up. You just mumbled a bunch of different letters
Did
there.
Did you speak to your friends at the LGBTQI?
There were CDXYs. Leanne.
So for me, when I'm reading an article, if it doesn't mention the WHO and the CDC, then I know that it's probably bullshit.
WHO is World. The World Health Organization.
Who's CDC?
CDC.
Center for Disease Control.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so this graph, it's interactive as well. And
I love a little interactive thing about viruses.
Look at that screen.
All right, so here are the numbers from Ali. This is quite useful to know. All right. Coronavirus, 77,783 plus confirmed cases worldwide. And 2,360 plus deaths, roughly. Okay?
Yeah, it's a little bit behind this graph.
Sure. And then the whole flu season last year, all right? 29 million plus infections.
So that's influenza.
Yeah, that's normal old flu. 16,000 plus deaths. So we really are... We are panicking. It's become a thing everybody talks about. You see people wearing masks. It's a shut down this, shut down that. It's a big concern for people, but actually in proportional terms, it is not as big a deal.
Wait a minute. But I think the reason why there's so much panic is, unlike any other flu, you can't just go out just yet and get vitamin C supplements.
That doesn't help you with the flu anyway.
Well... that's a cold. Yeah, but we don't have a vaccine for it.
We don't have a vaccine for the flu either.
We do, but it just changes too rapidly.
That's exactly the point. The flu has never been completely defeated. So let's all just calm down.
Thank you,
Dr. Mike.
We need to know more.
Thank you, Dr. Leanne Moll. Yes, we do need to know more, but we will in time. And in the meantime, some people who are compromised from an immune system point of view or who have respiratory problems may fall by the wayside. That happens. But you heard those numbers that Ali sent me. 29 million flu infections last year and 16,000 odd deaths. Coronavirus, 77,000 confirmed cases of coronavirus and only 2,360 mm-hmm. deaths. So just, you know, keep perspective. That's all I'm saying.
And simple things like, and we don't even have to worry about this yet here, but
knock on wood.
The conversation where the areas are infected, it's more beneficial to wash your hands regularly than to wear a mask.
Yes, thank you. So, which is why the Pope doesn't want anyone kissing his hand.
There we go. So a couple of weeks ago, our Department of Health had said that, no, we are fully equipped should the virus ever come to this country. And that didn't exactly...
I don't believe that for 1 second. See,
didn't ignite a lot of faith in people.
Do not shake anyone's hand. You know where they're from.
I asked someone who works at a government hospital if... And she works a lot with children. And I said, has anyone in the hospital like mentioned it, the COVID-19 virus? Have they mentioned it? Have there been any, pieces of paper or anything or emails going around? And she said, not a thing. So if they are not prepared.
Okay, well, maybe this will put some faith in your hearts this morning. Well, Netcare, which is the largest private hospital network in South Africa, has now set up a bunch of different precautions to make sure that we are safe should the coronavirus break out here in South Africa. They've just very similarly to what they did when Ebola broke out in 2014, they have set up a manned hotline for healthcare professionals that operates 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so that healthcare professionals can help in diagnosing patients. It has also acquired protective clothing and equipment, you know, that whole mask shortage thing that got people running around crazy. Well, Netcare's also made sure that we have extra of those, and also they've expanded their mobile and transport isolation units to set up temporary isolation treatment facilities to deal with potential coronavirus cases. So once again, private sector to the rescue.
Okay. All right.
At least I think we should feel a little better.
Now, big news of the weekend for people who are fans of a 90s TV show. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
What am I talking about? Do you want to give us a clue, Leanne Moll?
I'll be there for you.
That's right. Let me help you in case you can't. If you don't get it from Leanne's terrific singing,
the shame.
Maybe I can help you a little bit here. So Rachel, Monica, Phoebe, Joey, Chandler, and Ross are all getting back together.
Yeah, and it'll be a series, not just a movie. But what I think is interesting is that I'm so glad that this is something that millennials have enjoyed.
Really?
Yeah. It's very big in the States, where kids are now all wearing Friends t-shirts and they have their own favorite characters. It shows the longevity and success of the series.
I'm just worried about Matthew Perry. He's a bit of a disaster. Like, all the others have had careers and they've done okay, but Matthew, he had a major drug problem for a long time. He got quite fat. He had a beard.
He was doing Top Gear in America.
No, that's Matt LeBlanc.
That's Joey.
Oh.
Yes, I'm talking about Matthew Perry.
Oh, dear.
Look him up. Bit of a fucking problem there. They're going to have to tell some backstory on Chandler, let me tell you.
Well, he looks good in the posters. I mean, they've probably been airbrushed and stuff, but...
Show me what poster you're looking at.
Oh, is their new?
Yeah, promoting their new. So,
you know how I knew about this?
Yeah,
Jennifer Aniston, whom I follow.
Yes, she was the first to post a picture.
She posted a picture of all of them together, and she said, "It is happening.
It's happening." And a number of celebrities went absolutely crazy with it. Let's see, Kate Hudson decided to speak for every human in the whole world.
Oh,
by saying, "I think the whole world just had a collective orgasm."
Wow, that's a little extreme.
Yeah, I don't know if I feel the same.
I'm a little concerned about Matthew Perry. He looks like a homeless person.
Well, we'll see.
Yo, he looks washed out. And see now, and he has that red face,
A puzza face.
That's it.
A puzza. So it's on HBO, which means they're going to go blue with it now, because HBO, we know what type of content they make.
Like,
according to this, it's on HBO Max.
Oh, you think they'll be risque and whatnot? No.
Well, oh, I see what you mean.
It's saying untitled, unscripted special on HBO Max.
Uh-oh. Unscripted?
Well, I mean, you know, like, you know what HBO does. I mean, Larry David's taken it to the final level, of course, with Curb Your Enthusiasm. Yeah. I wonder if they're going to do that style.
I don't see these guys pulling off unscripted. Give them a script, for God's sake.
So they're saying that this reunion special could, if it's really good, trigger a historical $1 billion series reboot.
Hmm.
So they may have done this with that in mind. I mean, in fact, I'm sure that's what they're going to do. They wouldn't have gone to all this trouble.
Yeah.
I think this is good for everyone except Jennifer Aniston.
Because she's above this?
She doesn't need this. Although, I know they've all actually stayed friends. If you look at the stories that all of them have about each other, and there's often a picture where, like, Jennifer Aniston will be with Lisa Kudrow and Courtney Cox, and they seem to get along really well. So I think they're all still in contact.
Hmm.
And that's pretty awesome, because out of six people in Hollywood, for none of them to have forubles with each other is pretty impressive. So let's see what happens. I mean, I'm excited about this. I'm not overly excited. It's not like it was my favorite
show.
You
aren't having an orgasm.
No, I'm not Kate Hudsoning. But it's good. Let's see what happens.
Now, this is probably Jen actually throwing her friends a bone.
Yes.
It's like, okay, sure.
Maybe. Maybe Jen was probably the last to agree.
I was reading up on the...
Matthew Perry's like, yes, sure, I'm there. Yeah. You know what? One thing you know for sure about Matthew Perry, he's available.
He answered the phone like after one ring. Just like, hey, hello. Yes, I'm available.
I'll be there for you.
Yeah.
I'll be there for you. And Lisa Kudrow too. I can't imagine she's had a lot of work.
I was looking at the expected salaries and I was surprised by it. But like,
so Jennifer Aniston will get like $1 million for an episode for this new reboot, maybe even two.
Well, yeah, because
Matthew Perry and Lisa Kudrow will get like R5.55.
Towards the end of the series, they were each earning like very close to $1 million an episode. And this was like in the late 90s or early 2000s.
When it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, or even your year. You just like, look at a picture of Matthew Perry at the moment. Jesus.
I think we might be surprised.
I think I saw him out in Joburg
David
the other
Schwimmer
day.
On one of these talk shows the other day. And he had either gone on a very long plane trip or he'd had a bad week.
David Schwimmer is also the one who says he wants to be the next Bond.
This is 20 years ago now. Look at a picture of yourself from 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah, you weren't even here.
I was 5 years old.
Exactly. So let's all just stop being assholes about this, shall we? I take back everything I said about Matthew Perry. You go, dude.
Okay, you're going to watch?
Sure, I'll watch.
Yeah.
I know what's going to happen if I don't watch, is everybody will be talking about it here the next day, and then I won't know what to talk about. I have to watch. Do you care about Friends?
It was before my time, and I never really got into the reruns either.
SA apparently has a big cult following here with kids too. I don't think I'll be watching. I've been there and done that. So not everybody's a fan. That's from Cassandra. She says that even though everybody else likes it, she's not such a fan.
I'm with Cassandra there.
Okay. Apparently, some other people are doomsday prepping for Corona. It is coming.
Jeez.
People stocking up and shit in the shops, buying all the things they need for when they're going to have to hide away from the other people who have coronavirus. Zombies.
All I would need would be water, wine.
That's pretty much it.
Cigarettes, toilet paper, and pet food, and maybe some tins of beans.
With all
That'd
that,
be fine.
With all that in your bunker, it's going to smell delightful.
Just some beans,
pet food, and cigarettes,
and bean farts.
it's going to be magical in Leanne's bunker.
Who would you take in your bunker with?
No
you?
One.
Oh,
zero people.
Well, here's an interesting point of view, and you can always get hold of us at 0797482090. This is from Carl DeSantis. He says, of all the famous Perrys you thought were going to die, I would have put Matthew before Luke. They should have been in the death pool. Because Luke Perry,
Katie as well.
He died, remember? Katy Perry should have died.
What did California girls, hot and cold, what's the one?
Oh,
All of those ones. What did that ever do to you?
Speaking of cool things that are going on at the moment, I love brands that are brave enough to actually say what everybody's thinking. And they do it in such a funny way that they're not even being mean, which is very, very clever. So I'm talking about Nando's. Did you hear their new ad?
Haven't yet, no.
Listen to this ad. This is awesome. And you know who they're having a go at, right? This is very brave.
Hello? I would like to order a packet of nuggets. There's just one thing I need to know.
Yes, sir.
What part of a chicken is the nugget?
What part of the chicken?
Yeah, and get this is one. We've got the feet, we've got the breast, we've got the wings. Where in the formula do we equals nugget?
Nugget. I'm not sure. I think it's the
I don't know what part of, it could be toes.
I get it. It's modified now.
Oh, how do you modify?
No. At my level, I don't do that.
You are selling things you don't know.
Not that I don't know. I know, but I cannot just say it.
Oh, is it that bum part?
You know, there are some things that I'm not supposed to say.
Because we know the other part.
Yes.
But when slaughtering, no one has ever said, cut out the chicken nugget for Ukoko.
It's like the chicken part of it. You understand?
Huh?
At Nando's, we also don't know what a nugget is. That's why you won't find it on our menu. What you will find is the best quality, freshly prepared, treat that body right, peri-peri marinated chicken. Nando's. Fired up.
I love that.
It's brilliant.
I mean, first of all, it's really funny. But second of all, it's so true. Like, people are buying this nugget stuff. And it, to me, that is just so gross. I know lots of people love them.
But I just find it horrific. People eat anything. Like I went to go see a friend on the weekend.
I want to know what it is.
And
I want to know what that is. I don't want to just pop it in my mouth if it tastes good.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
People eat anything. It's gross, people. No. What you put in your body is important. Stop eating anything. And no. I look at just people like they'll have Doritos and cream and a piece of chicken and like, oh man.
Now imagine that stomach. It's like a concrete mixer.
And then have wine and then gin after it. I'm like, oh.
Oh, yes. You are such a delight to have people around.
Just put that on his list of things he hates. People who put everything and anything into their body.
Finger snacking party food.
Mulelo, I'm so inviting you to the next dinner party.
I just thought I'd play you that ad. It's
hilarious.
Cute.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
They are brilliant.
All righty. We have more from Leanne Mull. She has information about our hero, Kirk Douglas.
Yes.
And what he had left at the end of his life and what he wanted to do with all his money.
He gave most of his $61 million fortune to charity.
Oh.
Amazing.
Leaving nothing, practically nothing, for son Michael.
But his son Michael's got lots
of
money.
Exactly. I completely agree.
Yes.
But at least now we know what he wanted to do with his $50 million. He chose charity over his son. He wanted $50 million to be given away to various charities through the Douglas Foundation. Among those, getting a bequest is a scholarship program at his alma mater, St. Lawrence University. Also the Culver City's Kirk Douglas Theatre and Children's Hospital in Los Angeles. He's reported in his own right to be estimated worth about 300 million rand. That's Michael Douglas. And that's why he is not one of the beneficiaries.
Yeah, I don't think Michael Douglas is too worried about
no.
Like not, you know, this is what's so good about, and people tend to obsess. We often talk about billionaires on this show, and there are a lot of people who've made tons of money, and you don't have a claim on that, neither do I. Frankly, neither do their children. If you go out like Michael Douglas, who's had his own successful career, he's made his own money, he doesn't want any of his dad's money. He's like, you know what? What am I going to compete with the other millionaires? I don't need this money. Let it go to charity. Let it help other people.
The things that Kirk really cared about.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing.
Nobody could understand what the fuck Kirk cared about at the end of his life.
So, I mean,
because
you
couldn't understand him, but I get you.
Kirk was actually survived by his wife.
Yeah, his wife was still around.
Yeah. Anne. She's still going.
They were married for 65 years.
Yeah.
They also have a son together, Peter Douglas. And then from the first marriage, there was Michael and Joel Douglas, and also 7 grandchildren. So I'm sure probably out of that money, because it wasn't all of it, there was $11 million left. He probably gave it to the grandchildren.
Yeah, you know what? That's good enough. You don't want to spoil the guys and girls. You just want to give them a little bit from their grandfather. It's his money. He could do with it whatever he likes.
Yeah.
It's and great. With a name like that, they're going to be fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not like...
It's like Hollywood royalty. Yes, you can, exactly. As a Douglas, you can open any doors, really.
Exactly. Speaking of royalty, I see your friends Harry and Meghan.
What about them?
They have been kicked out on their backsides.
Not until...
The Queen has decided those people are persona non grata.
Not until March the 31st. That's when the official...
That's when they transition suckling from the teat of the British taxpayer.
No, that's when the official
they were already doing that.
Starts on March the 31st. So they have a couple of events left that they'll be attending officially.
Exciting. Are you going to go see her? That you don't care either, right? Now that they're out of the royal family, you're like, oh, well, who needs more celebrities?
Not that I don't care. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the beginning, I really thought, shame, they're doing the right thing. And especially with his history with his mom and the media pursuit of them and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now I'm thinking, okay, well, now the Queen's already had the last laugh because they're not allowed to use the brand name Royal Sussex,
mm-hmm.
or Sussex Royals, or whatever.
Sussex Royal.
Sussex Royal.
Yeah.
They had that brand set up. They've got the website running. Everything was going to go through that. And she put her foot down, surprising them and saying, you can't even use the word royal. But apparently one of Meghan's friends has said that the name is now going to be Sussex Global Charities with no royal in sight. That'll be their... new non-profit organization.
Can I bring up something about Michael Douglas?
What is it?
You remember he said a while ago that he thinks he got throat cancer from going down on his wife, Catherine Zeta-Jones?
Yes.
I found this. I thought this would amuse you.
What he said to me right before I passed out, he said, hello!
Wait, hang on a second here.
Is this Gilbert?
Yes, it's Gilbert. All right, just hang on. You got to hear this. All right, listen to this.
You know, Michael Douglas said recently that he thinks he may have gotten throat cancer from performing oral sex on his wife. I don't know. I think cancer is a small price to pay to lick Catherine Zeta-Jones' pussy. I would take any form of cancer to lick Catherine Zeta-Jones' pussy. You could give me polio to lick Catherine Zeta-Jones' pussy. I take leprosy to lick Catherine Zeta-Jones' pussy. You could give me Lou Gehrig's disease to lick Catherine Zeta-Jones' pussy. To lick her pussy, I would take a form of muscular dystrophy so intense that while I'm eating her pussy, Jerry Lewis pops out of her cunt and goes, hi, why are the toy when that's the thing with the boys in the hymen on these eating the liver? Thank you, good night.
He's just too much.
He's revolting.
He's disgusting.
He's the most revolting little man in the whole world, but I
little
do love
man.
Him. I found this clip popped up on YouTube for me the other day that clearly YouTube knows me well.
Mm-hmm.
And now when you brought up Michael Douglas, that's all I could think about.
That's your connotation. That's what you remember. Yeah, before Devi comes after us again, Leanne, over to you. As the woman on the team, what do you have to say about this?
Well, I think it was funny.
Okay, now we can all laugh.
As far as humor
my
goes.
God. Oh, please.
You know, yeah, you've got to take it with a pinch of salt.
All right, let's turn our attention to something important here. Apparently, Richard Branson has launched a luxury adults-only cruise.
Oh, as soon as we see that, we think about sex, don't we?
No, but what it is like they're no kids.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's not that they have, it's a whole bunch of adults doing, you know, sex stuff to each other. It's just a cruise where you don't have children.
That's right.
Which for a lot of people is
even
a
though it does look like a big red penis, I must say.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The ship does?
Yeah.
Well, oh, I'm sure it's virgin red, isn't it? Mm.
But what do adults do when there's no kids around? Besides have sex?
No, they don't have sex. This is a cruise. You're going on there with your girlfriend, your wife, your husband, your mates. Whoever it is. Yeah, you just don't have kids running around.
So, firstly, it's his first cruise liner. This is his very first. He's called it the Scarlet Lady. It's docked currently at the port of Dover in England,
right,
and it'll enter operations in April. So its main trips will go to the Caribbean via a base in Miami. He says that we've worked with some of the world's most sought-after designers, artists, and architects to craft an extraordinary experience. He said, I've dreamed of starting my own cruise line since I was in my 20s. So I'm really thrilled that the moment's arrived. So it'll feature a striped drinking spot called Razzle Dazzle, a Korean eatery called Gonbae, a tattoo and piercing parlor called Squid Ink.
See, that's what adults do when kids are on. They become kids themselves and reckless.
It features 78 luxury rock star suites, including mega rock star suites, which are divided into massive, posh, and gorgeous suites. Prices are about $19,000 per cabin.
Wow.
The cheapest is around $1,600 for 3 and 4 day stays. So it's not out of reach. It's planning the first of three planned ships. This is the first of three planned ships.
Will you make up your mind?
From Virgin Voyage. So, yeah, we'll get to see if this... Often these sorts of ships come to Cape Town, so maybe they'll stretch their journey and we'll be able to see it for ourselves in Cape Town. Who knows?
Very exciting. I mean, again, it doesn't have to be something...
Sordid.
No, not at all. Sometimes you just want an adults-only cruise so you don't have kids. Kids scream. You know, I was visiting some people over the weekend, and they had there were a bunch of girls, little girls, playing in the swimming pool next door, and girls just screech the whole time, even when nothing's happening. Of a certain age, girls, of a certain age, they wah, ah! They just scream the whole time. Everything is worth a scream. They good things are happening. They're excited. They scream. They're having a horrible time. They scream. They scare each other. They scream. The little girls just scream. And if you could get on a ship and you wouldn't have to hear that, that would be a good ship.
There's some kids next door to me who obviously have been swimming a lot in the heat up until today. But
oh, that's why you're happy about the cold. I can already tell.
And one of the guys' voices is breaking.
Oh, no, shame.
Shame. And it's like, you just hear this the whole day. It's like broken screaming. It's very, very distinctive.
Yeah, that's why you're just glad it will get colder so that you don't hear a lot of that.
Oh, gosh.
My parents told me at a young age that I must never expect an inheritance because they plan to burn through everything they have by the time they die, says Marcus. Yeah, I think that's quite reasonable. No one should expect to inherit anything. If you leave something behind, great. Good for you. But if you decide to burn through it all, it's your money. Your kids don't deserve that. What have they done?
My only concern when people give money away is the reason you have kids is you can mold them. You know, the success breeds success. I'm not so comfortable with competent people giving their money just to anyone working at a charity. I don't like it. What's the point of making all the money? Give it to your kids who you groom.
What's wrong with a charity?
A lot is wrong with charity in general.
What do you mean? Add that to the list of things he hates. Why?
Number 35.
Why? So what are you asking me? What's wrong with charity?
What's wrong with charity? If you want to leave your money to charity, that's fine. That's what Kirk Douglas is doing.
Well, I agree. I'm saying I don't agree with giving the money away because generally when you have kids, you breed those kids. You see, give them a level of education.
Yeah.
You make them competent. And you generally would think, okay, well, let me give people I've trained because most people are doing what? Absolute nonsense.
Sounds like the way you would raise children is like a veal in a cage. You don't sound like you'd make a great parent.
I probably wouldn't, but most... This is the reason success breeds success. The people close to you...
You look at your kid like a science experiment.
Absolutely.
Oh.
Yeah.
Poor child.
And it's all my fault if they turn out to be a disaster. Absolutely. Oh. Absolutely. I wish more parents would think that way.
Hmm.
So
there's some tidbits there I'd agree with, but for the big parts,
I remember doing my will. We had a guy who helps us with our wills. I'm sitting in a room with my brother, and the two of us agree that if something happens to me, he gets to say what happens with my money or lack thereof.
Yeah.
So I said, he asked seriously where I want my money to go to. And I said, I'd like it to go to Kitty and Puppy Haven. And Mark said, over my dead body. And then I said, yes, over your dead body it would.
No, my sister gave me one instruction. So, no, my cousin knows. I was thinking, like, who of my family listens and will this be awkward? Yeah, yeah.
Okay, just tell the truth. Yeah. So you can never get into trouble.
A couple of people know, so it's fine. My sister's chosen me as the executor of her will, but also as the guardian of her daughter. And she says, should anything unfortunately happen to them both, like all both of them go out at once, she just says, listen, as long as everything is like paid for and you can responsibly give to our parents or our siblings, as soon as that's done, BMF. I'm like, what does that mean? She says, blow money fast. She says,
oh, wow.
You
go. Yeah.
You do what you want to do. So I'm not really saying that I'm gunning for my sister to die.
No, you're not really.
But she gave me the blessing to BMF. Because it's like, what else is this money for? If we're both gone, then that's it.
Speaking of money, Decrypto 2.0 has been providing a lot of detail and inside info about cryptocurrency, how it works, how to buy it, how to protect it, even how to spend it. But if you think we've missed something, or you want some more information about something we have discussed, this is your chance to ask the questions that you want answered. So we're asking you for the last episode to come up with your own questions and send them to us, please. We've got all the experts on standby to answer them for you. If you're a fan of cryptocurrency, or you're a major skeptic, or you're just someone who has something interesting to say about it, let us know, please. contact@cliffcentral.com. That's contact, the word, @cliffcentral.com. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Leanne, what was that address?
contact@cliffcentral.com.
That's right. We will do our best to answer in the final episode of this season, which is coming up on March the 9th. We have Luno Africa's GM, Marius Reitz, in studio to answer your questions live. And if he can't answer it, he will find someone who can. But basically, this is your chance to ask anything you need to know about the world of cryptocurrency. Send it to contact@cliffcentral.com. And don't forget, today we've got episode 13 of Decrypto Season 2 coming right up. That'll be up in the next couple of minutes.
Okay, before that, let's just quickly look at The Bachelor. It's going to be more fun when we all get into it, but this is two episodes summarized into one.
All right. Okay.
As I said earlier, I'm knee-deep into it now. I'm loving it.
So from the first half, which I watched, I could tell that there was going to be a lot of either bitchiness or fun between the girls.
Yes. Okay, just a step back though. Let's talk about Mark Buckner as the Bachelor. I actually think he's an amazing choice of a Bachelor.
Yeah, me too.
And you prefer him to the last Bachelor.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not being shady, but he has more personality.
You go ahead and say whatever you want.
It's only the accent for me as well.
Mark Buckner, he lives in Cape Town.
Uh-huh.
He has a modeling and acting background.
Uh-huh.
But while he was acting and modeling, he bought a bunch of properties and he flipped them. So he's, you know, he's into real estate like that.
Right.
And then he's also a trader in his spare time. He's single. He has a loving mother. Remember, Lee had that relationship with his own family.
Yeah, he didn't have such a great one. Yeah.
So he has a very loving mother who's involved in his life. And he has Luna the Lulu dog, his prized little dog that he talks about every 3.2 seconds in the episode. So that's why he wanted to get into the episode. He says that he says that he wants love in his life. He wants to complete his family with Luna and his mother. So he's a very sweet and wholesome guy. I find him very funny as well.
Yeah.
So which makes the show a little more interesting. And so cut to the first episode that premiered just before Valentine's Day, 22 women who came into the house. And yeah, Leanne, you are right. It's just way more drama, even between the ladies, than what we saw last season.
There was a lot of cringe as well. Some very, very false girls who were kind of acting their way through it.
Yeah, just to set the scene, there was one girl in the first episode who made it into the house. She subsequently left the house, but she was a former Blue Bulls dancer.
Okay, so she's gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You have a girl from Namibia. You have a Phumzile van Dam's sister. Her name is Qiniso.
And no one can get her name right.
And she is not for it.
They're like, what else can I call you? What's your other name?
Hi, Qiniso. Oh,
she goes, no, how bad does it get? Qiniso. Yeah. That's what you call
really?
Me. Yeah. Yeah. So you can tell that it's going to be fiery like that. There's a vegan activist in the house.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's going to be delightful. And then there's also a girl, her name is Bridget, and her claim to fame is she name drops a lot that she's from Durban. And so, like, if she doesn't like something, she's going to sort people out there and then. There's also a soldier as well. Her name is Tamron. She's properly, like, a soldier and a lawyer. And so she likes to call herself Lara Croft in the house as well. Oh, wow. But, yeah, the girls now are not shy about just staking their claim, being very horrible to one another. I think like last season, we saw more like friendship circles forming in the house. This season, more of the girls are like, look, I'm not here to make friends because I'm here looking for my man. And so in the first episode, we got to meet all of the ladies and there were just two ladies who fell out, but it was very sweet and nice introduction to things. But the one thing that like got a lot of people raising eyebrows was at the rose ceremony where one lady got a white rose as opposed to the other girls who got a red rose. So that was a bit of a cliffhanger. So cut to
what does that mean?
Yeah, cut to the second episode. We now learn what the white rose means. And the white rose, which was given to a girl by the name of Pasha, by the way, I think she's one of my season favorites because she's a dance instructor, but by night. She's one of those girls who dances at the club.
Oh, yeah. You know, like one in of a the, cage or on the pole.
Oh, on the pole. That's why she...
Yeah, she's very sexy.
See, I do love strippers, guys. Well, she's not a stripper.
Please, you're just trying to atone for your horrible things you've said before.
Anyway.
You don't believe this, Mbulela.
Not a dummy. No.
So Pasha ends up getting this white rose, and we find out that actually... A white rose means that at any point in the next four rounds, Pasha can intercept any of the dates. You know, sometimes there's a one-on-one date and sometimes there's a group date.
That is like giving her a wild card entry into a date.
Exactly. So if at any point there was a date that was selected, but she wasn't one of those people that was selected, she could use that white rose to basically trade her position. And she used it in the second episode when a girl was chosen for a one-on-one date. And she's like, actually, screw it. It's still in the beginning. I want Mark to notice me. And so she said, I'm handing in my white rose. And she went for that one-on-one date. So yeah, we're now down to 22 minus 4, 18 girls. A lot of drama is going to ensue, I think. And I think they're also going to be like genuine romantic relationships. I actually envision an engagement coming out of this. And this is also a statement that came from Mnet speaking about some of the behind the scenes stats of the new season. There were over 20,000 minutes of footage that was filmed in this new season. There were more than 300 meters of fairy lights, 750 light bulbs that lit up the second season. There were more than 360 red roses used in the production, 77 flower arrangements, the more than 7,200 meals that were served over the course of the second season. Mark went on 11 group dates and 17 individual dates, more than 148.
Are they telling you all of this now before they start the show properly, because they want you to know that it's really successful and that things go well?
Because
last time was such a disaster.
No, it was a good season. Oh, come on. I liked it.
Didn't they eventually go on like one date after the show and it was breakup time?
And then this was the kicker. This is how I think there will be engagement. They have a jewelry sponsor who's signed on as well for the second season. And they say that in this season, there'll be more than 20 pieces of jewelry handed out, including the engagement ring.
Ooh.
Three pieces were given to contestants as gifts. So let's see. I'm interested. I'm into it again.
All right, Sia, you are. I wish I could say the same. I'm really not. I'm just not there yet. I give myself time.
No, you never will be. Just don't stress yourself out about it. It's something that you don't want to do, then just don't do it.
Yeah. But we'll be here for you every Friday after watching the episode on a Thursday. Right.
Hey guys, it seems that the lesbian T20 World Cup has had no attention. Apparently South Africa won yesterday. Please can you ask Mbulelo to cover that? Well, Carl, you're in luck because it is time for Mbulelo's sport, and we'll also check in on the lesbian cricket. You don't have any info on that?
I think it's hilarious that he calls it the lesbian. Wow.
That's not what it is.
Only because the hockey girls will be unhappy. Lesbians play hockey.
All right, let's go. Let's try and get into some sports, shall
we? To be honest with you, there's only one sports story that we have to worry about. Gareth, I'm not interested in the lesbian. What did he call it? The lesbian?
T20.
T20
discriminating?
World Cup. Incredible. Carl, you are... That's phenomenal. But there's only one story from the weekend. The two biggest heavyweights in the world, Tyson Fury, absolutely changed the face of heavyweight boxing yesterday forever.
Sure.
Yes, he knocked out the self-proclaimed baddest man on the planet, Deontay Wilder, in the seventh round. So a perforated eardrum is suspected. He absolutely battered him, if you haven't seen it. He's the only heavyweight in history now to have won every belt and title at some point in his career. Yes, he's won all three of his rematches via knockout. But that's not the great thing, right? Let me get straight to it. His entrance, if you haven't seen it, we'll put it up, is the most electrifying entrance you will ever see, Gareth. He walked in, right, with a bunch of super hot, unbelievably hot women carrying him, and he's sitting on a throne, and the women are dressed like that woman in that terrible movie, Wonder Woman. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah, yeah.
Awful film.
I didn't hate Wonder Woman.
Yeah,
Wonder
it's an
Woman
awful one.
Terrible. No. Awful. Was it terrible?
Yeah, it was awful.
Really? Awful.
Probably one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
All right.
But they were all dressed in that Amazonian wear. You can imagine what that looks like. And you can actually scratch that. That's still not the best part, by the way. I'm not sure if you know this song, right? Patsy Cline's classic, Crazy. Do you know that song?
Yeah, Crazy. Crazy for female.
Exactly.
So that, lonely.
Okay.
What about it?
Yeah. So that was his entrance song. Now, in boxing, you always have like hip-hop guys. It's always like hardcore. Mm. This was like a 5-minute entrance. It's unbelievable. We'll put it up. He's changed the face. If you don't have anything as cool as Tyson Fury as your entrance song from now on, I'm not watching. I am not watching. It's the only thing you need. And then afterwards, he sang American Pie. And by the way, he's got serious pipes, this Tyson Fury guy. Greatest entertainer alive. And now the baddest man on the planet. Unbelievable performance.
But he really...
Until someone punches him in the throat.
He left that other dude looking like... absolute shit.
Minced meat.
Oh my god, his lip was like hanging out of it. Oh my, horrible. Have you seen those pictures?
No, I can only imagine.
Yeah.
So why would I look at those pictures?
Let me show you. I'm going to show you because you need to see.
There's a reason they call him the Gypsy King. So he is a gypsy as well. So he knows how to fight, Leon. Not just you know, gypsy culture.
Yeah. Oh no, man. He really does look like mincemeat.
Deontay Wilder, you are mincemeat. So it's the only story we need to know about this weekend. Jeez. The baddest man on the planet, the Gypsy King, is back on top. Hmm. That is your sport.
All right. Are you sure that's all you want to tell us?
That's all I want to tell us. Yeah, that's all I want
to say. Okay, we don't need to repeat it again. Let's just look at one or two quick... this is quite interesting. Actually, Imbililio... This is coming from Daniel. He says, two of the South African batswomen are married, I believe.
Sure.
That's pretty cool.
Hey, Gareth and Mbabalo Balls and Lego. Thursday's burning platform was excellent. Well done. Guys, the guest was awesome. Can we please have more of him? Yes, sure. He was fantastic. Mm. And a lot of people saying that, so we'll have to get him back. Have you guys seen or heard the reality show called The Circle? Dano.
I've heard of it.
What is it?
No, I've just heard sort of like a flash of it. So in other words, no.
All right. Well, that was great. Thanks, Leanne.
Okie dokie.
All right. Very good. Let's get into Decrypto Season 2 and Episode 13. And we'll find out what there is to know about Decrypto. And by the way, this is the second season, but we want to finish it off with the Q&A episode, which is your chance to ask any question you like about cryptocurrencies. We'll get the best people in the world to answer them for you. Here it is, though, episode 13 of the second season. And don't forget, you can participate in the last episode by sending us your question, contact@cliffcentral.com. By now, most people have at least heard about Bitcoin and currencies like it, even if they haven't bought any or don't really understand how it works. But there are still a lot of misconceptions around the future of money. We've come to Luno HQ in Cape Town, where Luno Africa's GM, Marius Raitz, goes into some of the untruths about cryptocurrency.
Bitcoin interest is growing. More people are being introduced to cryptocurrency each day. But there's still a common misconceptions and myths surrounding this new financial system. If you look at the first one, that is that you have to buy one Bitcoin. That is not the truth. You can buy a fraction of a Bitcoin on Luno from as little as 10 or 20 rands. And that is because Bitcoin is divisible. So it can be broken down into smaller units. Similar to our gold can be melted into smaller units and also currencies. You can exchange 100 or 10 rand note into 1 or 2 or 5 rands. The smallest denomination of Bitcoin is a 100 millionth of a Bitcoin, and that's one fraction, and it's called or referred to as a Satoshi. The second misconception, most people believe that Bitcoin is only used for legal activities because of the fact that it's anonymous. The reality is that Bitcoin isn't anonymous, it's pseudo-anonymous. So if you know someone's Bitcoin address, then you can see the entire transaction history, you can see exactly when they transacted, the timestamps. Law enforcement is getting better at analyzing Bitcoin transactions on the blockchain, and if you're caught, then your entire transaction history is available. People have always found a way to carry out illegal activities long before Bitcoin existed. It's far easier to trace Bitcoin than to trace cash, for example. And I think also important, criminal use has shrunk dramatically over the last 2 to 3 years, especially. The technology has improved. There's companies providing a blockchain tracking technology that enables law enforcement and platforms to track Bitcoin transactions being sent to the dark net and for other illicit uses. The Bank of England found that cryptocurrency ranked, I think, 12th or 13th on that list of methods being used for money laundering. Top of that list was things like credit card fraud and also cash. The third common misconception is that Bitcoin has no intrinsic value and therefore it's not a currency. However, this can be applied to any currency. For example, if we all stopped believing in the rand or in the pound or in the US dollar, then it would also cease to have any value. Value only exists in our minds. Famous author Yuval Noah Harari once said that dollar bills and gold coins only have value in our common imagination. So one more misconception, and that is that regulations will kill the industry. It's important for regulators to put adequate controls in place for any new disruptive technology, for that matter, so that it's not used for criminal activities. The ultimate goal of regulation is to ensure a safe industry, to ensure that cryptocurrency platforms or service providers know who their clients are, and that we rinse the industry of all the bad actors. Cases around the world where regulators have come to the fore and implemented regulations includes Malaysia, for example, where the regulator issued licenses to 3 cryptocurrency exchanges, of which Luno is one. And that essentially is to ensure that the industry is safe to use for consumers, that we're looking after things like consumer protection, that there's no reckless information being spread by platforms. And I think also importantly to ensure that or service providers have a high regard for consumer information and also for the safeguarding of customer funds.
Decrypto is everything you need to know about buying, trading, and spending cryptocurrency. Brought to you by Luno, only on cliffcentral.com.
This is cliffcentral.com.
Charlie Peterson, it's nice to see you again, my friend.
Thanks, Gerard.
You know, when we spoke last, you were in the studio with me. We were talking about the role of fathers, the role of males in society. And here it is.
It's happening.
To their credit, ABSA have got involved.
Absolutely.
It takes an enormous amount of courage.
Yes.
And understanding.
Yes.
For people to put their money where your mouth
yes.
is. And here we are.
Awesome.
We're sitting at Dobsonville Stadium.
Yes.
And I think in some ways, the dream that you had for so many other young men in this
yes.
country is starting to come true.
Yes.
I look at the expressions of some of these young men and I see
Switching on.
Yeah, I see stuff happening, which is tremendous because for a lot of these guys, there's not a lot that's Mm-mm. going on that can Mm-mm. be attributed to positive Mm-mm. influence. How impactful do you think these sessions are? How do you put together a program like this?
Gerard, thank you so much. And like we said, you know, when we were in the studio, it was just like a dream. And I said to you, it's going to happen. And here, ABSA came and said, you know, we're putting our faith and our trust in you because we see what's going to happen. It's going to make change. It's going to bring change to the lives of boys that don't have hope. So boy, child, you matter.
Well, your program is incredible. I looked through the workbook just now.
Yes.
This is the kind of thing that I think a lot of these guys will take home and read again. Yeah. and look at again. It deals with self-esteem.
Self-love.
You're dealing with self-love. You're dealing with puberty and, and the difficulties that some young guys have around that in terms of the physical changes that happen to them. Aggression, violence, self-worth, what you want to be known for. Values. These are not surface issues.
No.
You have to dig deep to go here.
Yes, and it's real issues.
And I mean, it's an incredible program. How long have you been working on this to put it together?
Gerard, it started with a dream. You know, my first book was Growing Up Without a Father. You know that I was in your studio. Yep. Growing Up Without a Father, we're a fatherless nation. And what I picked up through all my interventions in the past 2-3 years, that this is the real thing. This is the lack and this is the need for our country. This took me at least 2 years to put together. And I was looking for a partner. I was looking for somebody that really will say that, let's do this thing. Let's make a difference. And here comes APSA. And APSA said, we're going to put our faith in you. Let's change this country. Because I believe if we can change the fathers and the boys, then the nation will be safe. Because most of the social ills, Gerard, are coming from the fathers, spreading to the boys.
Right.
And there it goes. Because I believe that we are on the right track.
You know, I saw something the other day that made me think of you, and I actually put it up on my Facebook. You can't truly call yourself peaceful unless you are capable of great violence.
Wow.
If you're not capable of violence, you're not peaceful. You're just harmless. You know, and I thought about that, and it struck me that the role of men is so deep and important and valuable.
Yes.
And there's a lot of attention that gets paid to girls and young girl children. And I think we've done a lot in this country to raise the self-esteem of women, to empower young women, to enable them to live out their dreams. But somehow along the way, we have neglected our men.
Big time. Sorry, Gerard, but I always say that the girl child is so empowered. The same girl child is married and or getting engaged or getting involved with an unempowered boy child. So all that this guy knows is violence. Now, you are so empowered as a girl. You know, you are so well-trained, but this guy don't know anything, you know. You don't know how. That's why you'll see how to manage conflict. We talk about conflict management. These guys don't know how to manage conflict. If he's angry, you want to beat her. So it's important for us as a country to also put all our energies and time into the boy child so that we can bring them at the same level as the girl child. Then we'll have a lovely, balanced South Africa.
Yeah, I know you're going around the country. Yeah. You're going to Cape Town, to Polokwane. Yes. There are going to be 1,000 young men whose lives you can touch in this. Yes. And as it's been discussed already with David and Sazini, this is a pilot.
Yes, it's a pilot.
But how do you see it rolling out? If everything goes as well as you want it to, and as well as you've envisioned it will, where do you see it going?
I see it going to 1 million boys in the next 5 years. Where the 1 million boys will also empower another 1 million boys, Gerard. They will empower another 1 million boys, and this thing will just spread, because the same boy will go back to the house as a changed person in the house, and also maybe leading the father if the father is present. If the father is absent, he will be leading his mother and protecting his mother, and he will know what is a value, what is a vision, what is a dream, and you know, and his self-esteem will be so high. So that he can also understand that I do matter.
Well, you've got people like Teko Modise and Spiwa Chabalala here to help you do this. I mean, this is stuff you couldn't have imagined, right?
It's beautiful. We're sitting in your studio.
Well, you know, this is your vision and dream coming true. And I think the nicest thing about it is that it's all about giving.
Yes.
It's all about, I know you've been involved in communities for the longest time. Yes. And this is really something that is going to break through
amazing.
In a big way. Yes. Congratulations.
Thank you, Gerard.
And please keep doing the good work that you do. I can see the pennies dropping. And slowly people are starting to realize that you were onto something.
Yes,
thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Gerard.
This is CliffCentral.com.